All right, so on Monday, our family made the most of the beautiful sunshine and we went up the Kapiti Coast for a bike ride. And at the end of the bike ride, Mum took us all out for dinner. And so we went to one of the fast food restaurants that's up the coast. And we were served by this young man. And I must say, his work ethic was phenomenal. I haven't experienced service like that at a fast food restaurant in a very long time. This young man was friendly. This young man was helpful. Nothing was a problem for him. Even when we made changes to the order, it was met with a smile and a polite, "Absolutely no worries, I'll change that for you." He even apologized for things that were not his fault. For instance, we wanted to eat in, but it was so busy that there weren't any spare tables. So we changed our order to be takeaway, and the young man responded to us, "I'm so sorry that there are no tables. It's just a bit busier than we expected." I mean, the lack of tables was not his fault, yet he was apologetic about it. I was just blown away by this young man's customer service, and I just felt like going to his manager and saying, "You have to fast track that man into management because he is just amazing." The reality is, when you experience someone with a good work ethic, then it makes the experience so much more enjoyable to the point that you actually want to go back and support the company again. Kind of why I keep going back to J.D. Finsonale as my dentist, you know? They make me feel so special when I go there. I keep going back even though I don't like the dentist. I kid you not, the very next day on Tuesday, I went to a different kind of shop and had quite the contrasting experience. It was evening, so the shop was quiet, and I was the second in the line waiting to make my purchase. Actually, there were only two of us, the guy being served and me, and then there was no one else in the line. And the shop assistant finished serving the guy in front of me. I stepped up to the till. The shop assistant looked at me, and then without saying a single word, he just walked off to the customer service desk and started talking to the other shop assistant who was stationed there. Now, I like to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. So I thought to myself, okay, there's probably some urgent matter that's just happened with the customer in front of me. The guy will return once the matter is addressed. After about a minute, the guy who was serving at the till, he finished his conversation with the person at the customer service desk, and then he went over to another staff member who was stationed at the front door welcoming people, and he said to this member, "It's time for your break." The person who was on the front door went on break. The guy who was originally serving at the till is now doing the front door duties, welcoming people coming to the store, and I'm standing at the till going, "Hello, where am I meant to go? There's no other tills, there's no one else around. What am I meant to do?" Now, after a few more minutes, the staff member that was stationed at the customer service desk eventually made his way over to me and served me. And as I was walking out the store, past the guy who had left, who gave me a cheerful, "See you later," I'm kind of like, "Yeah, right." I was kind of thinking, that was not an enjoyable experience. And all it needed was the first staff member to say to me, "I'm sorry, but I have to go and cover for the guy that's on the front door because he needs to go on break, but my colleague from customer service will be here ASAP." That was communicated to me. It would have changed my whole experience. But owing to the fact that he literally just looked at me and walked off and I'm just standing there going, "I want to spend money, but there's no one to take my money. What am I doing?" This lack of communication led to a negative experience. And I was thinking, if this store didn't have such good prices, I probably wouldn't come back. I'm sure that we've all had these contrasting customer service experiences. When we encounter someone with a good work ethic, it usually leads to an enjoyable experience. And we want to return to those kinds of shops. But when we encounter someone with a poor work ethic, then it can be frustrating and annoying, and often we don't want to return. Now, at this point, it can be challenging to stop, pause, and ask ourselves the question, what kind of work ethic do we ourselves put into practice in our day-to-day lives? We are a couple of weeks away from the end of our current sermon series, which is called Living Wisely for God. And in the sermon, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs and allowing this collection of short poetic sayings with little gems of wisdom to guide us forwards in godly wisdom. And so far, we've allowed the book of Proverbs to give us advice on humility, gossip, lying, anger, and last week we looked at self-control. And don't forget, if you ever miss a sermon, then you can go on the North Porirua Baptist Church website and find all of our previous sermons going back years. So quite a collection. This week, we're looking at work. The reality is the average person will spend a huge portion of their life at work. In fact, doing a quick Google search, because that's what we do nowadays, right, revealed to me that a third of our life can be spent working. Or if you're a numbers type person, then the average person spends around 90,000 hours at work. 90,000 hours. Going to work is a huge part of the average person's life. So it would make sense that the book of Proverbs would address this important area. What we need to remember is that when it comes to the book of Proverbs, it can be a challenging book to study. It's definitely been a challenging book to preach because each proverb can almost come across like a standalone piece of wisdom, and it doesn't give us a lot of information or context as to why the proverb was written. Therefore, when we study Proverbs in relation to a certain topic like work, then it's important to read all the Proverbs pertaining to work so that we can build the most robust picture possible. And believe it or not, there are quite a few Proverbs that address work. And I'm not going to read them all this morning, but as I read them in preparation for the sermon, I realized you could almost divide all of the Proverbs around work into three main categories. And these three categories are going to form the outline of our sermon this morning. So our first point for this morning is going to work brings reward. A good portion of the Proverbs make the point that work leads to reward or to profit, and laziness leads to poverty. Proverbs 14:23 is a great example. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Now, the first thing I want us to understand in regard to this point is that the idea or concept of work is actually part of our identity as people created in the image of God. You see, God, who is holy and pure and without sin, God is a God who is at work. We see this clearly in the creation account in Genesis 2:3. It tells us that God created the Sabbath day so that he could have a rest from all the work that he was doing. So if God works, and we're created in the image of God, then going to work must also be part of our DNA. In our culture, we often think of work in a negative sense. And from a very young age, we can find ourselves talking about and looking forward to that day when we retire and we'll be done with work forever. What we need to remember is that in the beginning, we were created to do work. And I want to be clear here, work is not just a paid job. Work can be a lot of different things. Before sin entered the world, right back in Genesis 2:15, when things were as they should be, it reads, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." We were created with a purpose, and working and taking care of creation is part of being in the image of God. Now, at this point, we do need to clarify something. When sin entered the world, when humans turned their backs on God, it did change the work dynamic. We read this in Genesis 3:17-19, that owing to the curse of sin, man's work is now difficult, and man will forever toil and struggle in his work. So the struggle and toil of work is a result of sin. But the concept and idea of work is actually part of being divine image bearers created in the image of God. And this is important to understand because if we try and disregard work and do just sit around doing absolutely nothing, then we're not going to get the full reward of being humans created in the image of God. We need to remember that work is part of our DNA. We need to embrace it rather than thinking of it in a negative sense. The second thing we need to understand is, what does the book of Proverbs mean when it says all hard work will receive a reward or a profit? Reading Proverbs 14:23 again, it says all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. To fully understand the Proverbs, we need to define the exact meaning of this word profit. You see, from a Western perspective, as soon as we read words like profit or reward, we can run the risk of interpreting them in a sense of excess wealth and luxury. Last week, we looked at self-control. And in particular, we looked at excessive consumption around wealth and material possessions. And we asked the question, when is enough actually enough? What are the necessities and priorities of life? Because the reality is, living in the West, we do fall into the trap of desiring things that we don't actually need for survival. Now, there are a couple of other proverbs that can help us understand the words profit or reward. Proverbs 12:11 reads, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who choose fantasies have no sense. And then Proverbs 28:19, almost the same. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their full of poverty. I don't believe the Proverbs are telling us that if we work hard, we will have an abundance of wealth and live lives of riches and glamour. Rather, I believe the Proverbs are telling us that if we work hard, we'll have the necessities of life needed to survive. As Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings a profit. So firstly, when we work hard, we're being in the image of God, and that itself is a reward or a profit. Secondly, when we work hard, we'll be able to provide the necessities needed to survive. That's a reward, profit. Now, I do want to point out that Proverbs give us the ideals. And I do need to acknowledge that we live in a fallen world. Sometimes things don't go to plan. It only takes a Wall Street crash before some hardworking families can be struggling to put a necessity like food on the table. Life doesn't always go to plan. However, we cannot miss the underlining point that the book of Proverbs is making. We are challenged to avoid laziness and to not fall into the trap of expecting a free handout. A great example of this is a community that my father-in-law works with in Vanuatu. I actually went to this community and spent some time working with them as well. This village in Vanuatu is poor. And missionaries went over and put in a system that collects rainwater from the gutters, puts the water through a filtration system, and then into tanks so that the village can have fresh drinking water. My father-in-law got a message from this village saying that the system was broken and they were not getting fresh water. Fortunately, my father-in-law had a trip to Vanuatu coming up, so he told them he'd check it out when he was over there. He arrived at the village, he investigated the fresh water system and realized that the problem was simply that the gutters needed cleaning. Someone just needed to go up on the roof, scoop the gunk out of the gutters, and then fresh water was right back in the system. The village was so used to getting free handouts from missionaries, they'd lost their work ethic and become lazy. I mean, another story, same village, is we've got a broken generator, we need a new one. It just needed some diesel put into it. This is why in the last decade, there or roundabouts, the concept of overseas missions has changed. And it's now become about empowering and equipping the local people to do it themselves rather than simply doing it for them. We need to remember that working hard is part of what it means to be in the image of God. As the Proverbs say, we cannot expect a profit if we don't work. Which leads nicely into our second point. Work hard for the Lord. Proverbs 21:25 reads, the craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. And I love it how the Message says it. I looked at it, the Message translation says, lazy people finally die of hunger because they won't get up and go to work. When you read all the proverbs around that work, there is definitely this warning to guard against laziness. We need to be hard workers. And in the New Testament, God brings about this revolutionary concept that changes everything around the concept of work. Colossians 3, 23 to 24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." You might work in secular employment, but Scripture tells us that in all of our work, we need to do it as if we're working for the Lord Himself. You see, if God is Lord of all, He is in absolutely everything. So whether it's our employment, whether it's serving at church, whether it's doing jobs around the house, whatever work we are doing, we need to work hard as if we're working for the Lord. This is an extremely challenging concept. I kid you not, right at this point of my sermon, I'd just written this line, "This is an extremely challenging concept," and then I heard a noise outside. And I looked out my window and noticed that the wind, it was really windy on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever I was writing, one of those days, I was writing my sermon. And Thursday, because that's when the recycling comes. There we go. The recycle bin had blown over and my recycling was being blown down the street. So I thought, oh no, that's not good. So I went outside and I put up my recycle bin and I got my rubbish and I put it back in and I closed the lid and I went inside. And as I shut my front door, this voice spoke in my head and said, "Jeremy, did you really just do that as if you were working for the Lord Himself?" And I knew exactly what the voice was challenging me to do. So I turned around, I went back outside, and I spent the next 15 minutes walking up and down my entire street, picking up my neighbor's bins and putting all their recycling in their rubbish bins until my entire street was spotless clean with no rubbish and all the recycle bins in the right direction. God challenged me to work as if I was working for the Lord Himself. And I did this by caring for creation, no more rubbish on the street, and loving my neighbors. And this is one of the really annoying things about being a preacher. You're held accountable for your own sermons every single Sunday. Anyway, like I said, in all of our work, we need to be doing it as if we're doing it for the Lord Himself. The reality is, in our culture, we have a way of ranking different types of jobs. We see certain jobs as more important or significant than other jobs simply based on either their pay scale or how valuable we see them within society. And as a result, people who end up in the low-ranking jobs can often put in a minimal work ethic because who cares, right? I wonder, is this the right attitude for followers of Christ? Is this working as if we're working for the Lord Himself? I remember this one guy who was at a previous church I went to, and he had a job that, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but he had a job that most people probably wouldn't see as that important or significant. The guy worked on the floor at Bunnings. And I was talking to him about the future, and I asked him if he had any desires to do anything else, and he said to me, these are his words. He said, "Jeremy, I love it at Bunnings. Every day I go to work and I serve the Lord in my workplace. I pray that God will bring customers alongside me so that I can model the love of Christ through the way I interact with them. I tell my colleagues about Jesus. The Lord has blessed me with so much that I've even been able to purchase a house. And now I get an unbelieving flatmates as a way to evangelize and share the gospel. Every day I work for the Lord and He's provided me with more than enough. I am blessed. Why would I go anywhere else?" This is a great example of a man who is in employment, maybe not in what the society would call the flashiest job, but he's working as if he's working for the Lord Himself. This concept, working for the Lord, should not only keep us working hard and avoiding laziness, but it should also keep us honest. It should change how we interact with our colleagues, and it should keep us acting with integrity and above board. in everything we do, we need to work hard as if we're working for the Lord Himself. And this leads to our final point for this morning. Prioritize and be thankful. Proverbs 24:27 reads, "Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house." This proverb is essentially telling us to get our priorities right. It's no good having a house if you don't have a means of survival once your house is built. No, get everything in order. Make sure you have an income and a way to survive, and then build your house. The danger with living in a credit card culture is that we've lost the art of patience and prioritizing. I mean, why wait when we can have it now? I believe we, as followers of Christ, need to learn to prioritize. What are the basics, the essentials that we need to survive? And what kind of work do we need to make sure that the necessities of life are met? And at this point, I do want to acknowledge, and we kind of touched this on earlier, and that is, life doesn't always go to plan. We don't always find ourselves in the dream job, but this is when we need to step back and ask, are our needs being met? Do we have the basics needed to survive? And if so, maybe we just need to be thankful that we have a job. We saw this recently with COVID. How many well-trained and qualified people found themselves unemployed? As a result, many of these people had to survive. They needed to pay the bills, and so they had to find a different means of work. I remember watching Seven Sharp a couple of years ago when the COVID pandemic was in full swing, and it was telling the story of this Kiwi who was a pilot for Qantas and yet found himself unemployed because people were not traveling around the world anymore. As a result, he got himself a job at New Zealand Post working in their warehouse sorting out courier packages. This man went from being an international pilot to working in a warehouse sorting boxes. And the reporter asked the man, "Are you angry or annoyed at the situation?" And the man responded, "Absolutely not. I'm so thankful that I have a job and that I can pay the bills. I have no doubts that one day I'll be in the cockpit again. Until that day, I'm just thankful that I have a job." I couldn't help but be in awe at this man's positive attitude. You could argue that he had every right to be frustrated and complain, yet this man was looking at the big picture. He had a job. He was able to pay the bills, and thus, he was thankful. As I listened to the man's response, I couldn't help but be reminded of the Apostle Paul's words to the church in Philippi. Paul was writing to a church, and we need to understand this, that were being persecuted. They were coming under extreme hardships. And what does Paul say to them? Philippians 4:8-9, one of my favorite verses. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Those words, they change everything. Paul is essentially saying to the church in Philippi, life doesn't always go to plan, but rather than complaining, try to see the positives. Try to see what God is doing in the chaos and craziness. When it comes to employment, I'm under no illusions. It doesn't always go to plan. You won't always find yourself in the job that you want or desire. You might find yourself with a boss that you don't get along with. You might not be on the pay scale that you think you should be on. There are so many things that can go wrong when it comes to employment. And this is why it's so important to prioritize. The first thing we can ask is, do we have a job? I mean, if you have a job, then maybe you can be thankful for that in itself. I mean, how many other people applied for the job that you have and yet you were a successful applicant? Perhaps you can give thanks for the fact that you are indeed employed. The second thing you can ask is, do you have the necessities of life, which is shelter, food, and clothes. If so, then you have so much to be thankful for. I mean, you're not homeless, you're not naked, and there's food in your tummies. Let's not fall into the trap of spending our entire lives complaining and forgetting to look at the big picture, because I believe when we prioritize, step back, and see that big picture, then we have so much to be thankful for. Now, please don't mishear me. I know there are some families that do it tough and can struggle to provide those essentials. And I'm not saying our systems are perfect, but at least in New Zealand, we do have benefits and organizations in place to try and help those who are desperately in need. Like I said, I know they're not perfect, but we have some things in place. So I do get it. There are people who can really find themselves in trouble. However, a lot of people who I hear complain about having no money or not enough money are usually people who either can't afford what I would categorize as luxury items, or they're people who have money but are being selective in regard to how they spend it. For example, I once went out for a coffee with a mate who was complaining to me about having no money. And I kind of felt sorry for the guy, so I told him, hey, today, my shout. I kid you not, he spent at least half an hour complaining about how tight things were and how it really was a struggle for him financially. And I just listened to him and yelled, I'm sorry it's so tough, and was sympathetic. And then the conversation moved on, and towards the end of it, he told me that he actually had $200,000 sitting in a savings account because he was saving for a house. Do you know how much I had in my savings account at the time? I had $30. And the account I used to buy him a coffee was an overdraft. This guy wasn't poor. He was just being selective about his spending. And as I reflected on the conversation, I could not believe this guy. And he was a pastor, dare I say it. Can't believe he spent so much time complaining about being poor. And this is why prioritizing and seeing the big picture is so important. Because when we do this, it tends to lead to a spirit of thanks rather than a spirit of complaint. I mean, isn't that the kind of culture we want to create in the church? A culture that is just so thankful to God for all of his provisions? I mean, if we have a job, if we have the necessities that we need to survive, then we can be thankful. It really comes down to what we see as the priorities. And we need to guard ourselves from the temptation of wanting and desiring things that we don't actually need, and remind ourselves of the big picture and realize that we are so blessed. And I believe, especially in New Zealand, we actually have more than enough. So there we have it, work. Work is part of our DNA, and we need to remember that being created in the image of God means we're designed to do work, and this work will enable us to survive in the world around us. We need to go into our work as if we're working for the Lord himself, bringing glory and honor to him in everything that we do. And we need to prioritize life, remembering to have a spirit of thanks for all the blessings that God provides us with. And if you ever do find yourself in a tough time, if you ever find yourself on rock bottom and you're thinking, Jim, I just struggle to give thanks to God because of the place I'm in, then I often find John 3:16 is a great verse to help remind us of the big picture. It's right there. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I believe there is always reasons to give thanks to God, because with Jesus, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. Please don't forget to step back and view the big picture. Let's pray. Steve, do you want to bring the team up? Loving Father, we thank you so much for the book of Proverbs, the collection you've given us with these little gems of advice. And we just pray that we will have our perspectives changed when it comes to this thing called work. Firstly, help us see that work is not just paid employment. Work is whatever we're doing at any time of any day. And I know there are people here in a variety of different positions. There are people here that are in paid employment and they're working around the house. There are people here that are parents, and that is where they're putting their time, and that is definitely work. There are people that are retired and so finding other things to do. Whatever place we find ourselves this morning, we are called to work. It is part of our DNA to go out and do something in the world. And I guess the biggest question for most of us is, what is that something? And I pray you'll not only reveal that something to us, but you'll encourage and equip us to be confident in that something. Because the world around us ranks things. And sometimes when we find ourselves on the lower rung, we can feel like we're not contributing. And I say to people here, it doesn't matter what you're doing with your days. The Lord has called you to do that. In particular, what I think the Spirit's brought to my mind is mums, or dads for that matter, that are choosing to actually stay at home and raise the children in the ways of the Lord. And often there can be jeers or comments made because they're not chasing the corporate world. But hey, what greater calling than raising children in the ways of the Lord? So I really do want to pray over parents that are choosing to actually make their kids' number one priority. Help them not be discouraged by that. But actually, they've got such a valuable role. They are going into the calling you have placed on them. And that needs to be honored. But I know they're not the only people that are probably in that situation where they think their days maybe are pointless or don't have much value. That is just rubbish. That's just the enemy trying to get in there. So help us, Lord, to hear your voice, the one true voice. Help us stand firm in your calling, that you've called us all to do something in the world. Help take away our doubts and fears or questions and be confident in each day, knowing that every day there are opportunities. As long as there's breath in our lungs, there is opportunities to point to you and to sing your praise. So, Lord, may we just be focused like that in all areas of our lives. May we work as if we're working for the Lord himself, remembering there is so much to be thankful for. So help us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. May we live for your kingdom and build your kingdom here on earth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.